Oh, did you? Oh, and then I must have turned it off. I didn't know you were. Are you leaving it for them?
Yeah, I'm recording them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, there.
You set? Are we rolling for this one?
Yes,
are you
we are rolling.
Go for it.
Well, we are very grateful to be here in Plymouth with you today. Thank you for having us. On behalf of my entire family, my wife Katie, our little daughter Ruth back in the back, my father Gary, and my sister Mary, we're very grateful for all that is preserved here and for Dr. Jaylee, the Plymouth Rock Foundation, for all that you are doing to preserve our heritage here. My sister Mary has spent many hours over many years in an effort to reprint the Psalter that the pilgrims sang from. And copies of that are available for you there in the back. We will be singing from that Psalter here. And I can tell you as a brother to Mary that it's very gratifying to her that you are here today to express an interest in the Psalter. And we hope it's a blessing to you to sing the very words to the very same tunes that this pilgrim sang from 400 years ago. Some of the texts and tunes that we're going to sing today will be unfamiliar to some. And the pilgrims sang with certain different pronunciation. You will hear in our singing, we're going to follow the way the pilgrims sang it. For one reason, because that's authentic. For another reason, there's certain words which simply don't fit the meter pattern unless you do it the pilgrims' way. Words like patience, they made into three syllables. Or reformed, they would make three syllables. And so there's certain psalms that the meter pattern only fits that way. We are going to ask you to join with us in singing three of the psalms, three that will be more familiar, and those copies are available to you in a little booklet that was handed out. If you do not have a booklet, you can raise your hand and we will bring you one. She's passing them around, so hold your hands up and we will make sure you all get those. We're going to be singing seven psalms out of the Pilgrim's Psalter, and we would like to ask you to join with us in singing three of them. The first song that we're going to sing here today that the Pilgrims sang is Psalm 100, which should be fairly familiar to most of us. The timing that the Pilgrims knew and saying is slightly different than the timing that we know today in the doxology. But if you'll follow along, we believe you'll be able to follow with no trouble. After we sing this first psalm, I'm going to be assuming for a few minutes the character of Edward Winslow, who was printer and planter, Bayflower passenger, diplomat, negotiated with the Indians, and the third governor of Plymouth Colony after Master John Carver and then William Bradford, Edward Winslow followed. So with your help and imagination, I'm going to step back into the early days of Plymouth Colony in the 17th century and tell you the story of the Pilgrim Psalter from the perspective and in the first person of Edward Winslow. Would you now join with me in standing and singing with us Psalm 100.
Shout to Jehovah, all the earth. Serve ye Jehovah with gladness. Before him come with singing mirth. Know that Jehovah he God is. He that made us and not we, his folk and sheep of his feeding. Oh, with confession enter ye. His gates, his courtyards with praising. Confess to him, bless
Be seated. Fellow pilgrims, in this psalm we are commanded to come before the Lord with singing mirth. I would like to tell you the story of how we, as the Lord's free people, came to sing from this particular psalter. My name is Edward Winslow. My father was a yeoman, a producer of salt from Droitwich, near Worcestershire, in Old England. I gained some experience in my youth printing in London, and was thus able to be of some assistance, I trust, to Master William Brewster during our time in the Low Countries. I was an eyewitness to the manifold mercies of the Lord in bringing us across the ocean to these shores to plant our feet here in the Cape of Cod. My wife is Susanna. Having lost my first wife, as you well remember, during that first difficult winter, it pleased God to bless me with Susanna, who has proven to be truly a helpmeet for me. She also lost her first husband during that dying time. In addition to our sons, God has blessed us with a little daughter, Elizabeth, there in the back, who has proven to be a great blessing to us. Please allow me also to introduce to you Patience Brewster, here in the front, the daughter of our esteemed elder. Although she was not a passenger on the Mayflower, Patience has cast her lot here with us in this country, and she has left her relatives in the old world to take her place here at the side of her honored parents in Plymouth. To turn now to our Psalter. The Psalms have been sung by the people of God for 3,000 years. The oldest psalm, Psalm 90, it is believed, was penned by Moses 1,400 years before Christ. Throughout all their difficulties and their joys and their sorrows, the people of God have always worshiped the Lord through the avenue of the Psalms. Every human emotion is expressed here. The Psalms give voice both to joy and to sorrow, both to victory and to the agonies of defeat. In all their days, God's people have sung them in every circumstance, in battle, in the glorious days of the erection of the temple, throughout the difficulties of the exile, throughout the long dark years in between the Old Testament and the New. The Psalms have given comfort and hope to the people of God. When our Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, the children sang from the Psalms, Psalm 118, as he entered Jerusalem. The night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus gathered his disciples about him as he crossed the Kidron Valley to go to the garden, and he sang with them a psalm. Throughout the early days of church history, Paul and Silas sang the Psalms in the dungeons at Philippi, and the writers of the New Testament quoted extensively from the Psalms in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ as their King and Captain and Redeemer. For many years, during the long ages of church history, the singing of the Psalms was lost to a majority of the people of God. We hanged our harps upon the willows, and we wept when we remembered Zion. Under the anti-Christian governance of the Pope, the Psalms were only chanted in Latin, and they were not available to men and women in their native tongue. There were, by the grace of God, a few brave and hearty Christians, like the Vaudois of the Piedmont in the Alps, and like the Chaldees of our own native islands, who continued to sing the Psalms of David in the vernacular even during those long centuries of darkness and superstition. Under the blessing of God, John Wycliffe translated the Psalms into English and blessed our islands with the truth of God and the language of the common man. But the scriptures were brutally suppressed, and many godly preachers were burned to death at the stake. About 100 years ago, there was, under God's blessing, an awakening of an interest in the scripture, in the continent, and in our islands, as the winds of Reformation began to blow. In the German states, in Switzerland, in the Low Countries, there was an awakened interest in the scripture as men and women were brought to repentance of their sins, and a hunger for the word of God in the language of the common man. Not content for the priests and monks to sing the Psalms in Latin, these people wanted the Psalms in their own language. Courageous men like Theodore Beza in France translated the Psalms from the original Hebrew. Others followed. And tunes composed by the reformers in France, and then also later, particularly in Geneva, were attached to certain Psalms like the one we just sang, Psalm 100. And over time, Christians, God's people, whether in France or Switzerland or Hungary or Germany, all could sing the Psalms to the same tune. In our own beloved England, the Reformation was slow and stunted. Under Henry VIII, and then Edward I, and then Bloody Mary, the Church of England vacillated between truth and error, between liberty and freedom. And God's people first enjoyed liberty and then bloody persecution. Many men and women gave their lives because they would not compromise the truth of God. The first man to give us a translation of the Bible in English, William Tyndale, was burned at the stake. Both our English Bible and our English Psalter were sprinkled with the blood of many martyrs. Over the centuries, diverse efforts at translating and metering the Psalms were made in English. These culminated in the Psalter used by the Church of England today, the one bearing the primary names of Thomas Sternhold and John Hopkins, published in 1562. This edition of the Psalter was bound up together with certain selections from the prayer book and several versified passages of Scripture. We, as separatists, were dissatisfied with this amalgamation as it was filled with men's own inventions and interpretations. Besides, many of the texts were of so hard and harsh a phrase that we know not what they mean, neither can we sing them with understanding. Thus it was that we desired a new translation, a new metrical psalter that would express the Psalms of David in the purity of the original, without the mixture of men's inventions. This next psalm that we are going to sing is Psalm 74. We will sing it together with Patience and with Susanna. Psalm 74 expresses the deliverance of the people of God from bondage into freedom, from oppression into liberty. Psalm 74, this is not in your little booklet. We'll sing Psalm 23 in a moment.
Oh God, why hast thou cast us off to perpetuity? Against the sheep of thy pasture smote thy face wrathfully. Remember thine assembly which thou hast of old purchased, the rod of thine inheritance which thou redeemed hast. This Zion mount wherein thou dwells, lift thou thy feet on high, unto the desolate eons perpetuity. The enemy in the holy place hath all things wasted sore. In midst of thy synagogues, to thy distressors roar. Thy sanctuary they have cast in fire, the dwelling place of thy name done unto the earth. They did profanely raise. They in their heart did say, let us of them at once make spoil. They burnt have all the synagogues of God within the soul. Remember this, the enemy, reproachfully doth blame Jehovah and the foolish folk. They do blaspheme thy name. Give not the whole of thy turtle dove to the wild company. The company forget not of thy poor perpetually.
Our first distant acquaintance with Master Henry Ainsworth began in London, where Separatist pastor Francis Johnson began to meet with a like-minded group of believers in 1592. Master Ainsworth was a young scholar from Cambridge and was recognized by the leaders of the church for his expert knowledge of Hebrew in particular. In addition to possessing a knowledge of the language of Moses and David and the original language of the Psalms, Master Ainsworth was also a humble and godly man with a special gift of being able to teach the Word of God to men. In 1593, Master Ainsworth made his journey from London over to Amsterdam to join with the congregation there. He found employment as a porter to a bookseller. The bookseller was astonished, as you might imagine, to find out that his porter was a scholar in the Hebrew language. So content and meek was Master Ainsworth that he was willing to live on only nine pence a week, eating only boiled roots for his sustenance. The pastor of the Separatist Church, Francis Johnson, was prevented from coming to Amsterdam and was cast into prison in London. In his absence, the church at Amsterdam appointed Master Ainsworth to become their Bible teacher. His expert knowledge of Hebrew was a blessing to the people of God. And under God's blessing, Master Ainsworth became the author of several important expository works. One on the books of Moses and the Pentateuch. Another splendid work he wrote on the Song of Solomon. But the achievement that we are considering here in our remembrance was this book, the Book of Psalms, English, both in prose and in meter. We became directly associated with Master Ainsworth in 1608, when our own congregation found refuge in Amsterdam for a period of 9 months. During that time, our congregation came to love and appreciate the sound teaching and godly life of Master Ainsworth. He had an excellent gift of teaching and opening the scriptures, and things did flow from him with that facility and plainness and sweetness as did much affect the hearers. He was powerful and profound in doctrine, although his voice was not strong. And he had this excellency above many, that he was pregnant in the Scriptures, as if the book of God had been written in his heart. And thus, when he taught, he was as ready in quotations, without tossing and turning the book, as if the word of God had been written on his heart itself and lain open before his eyes, and seldom missing the citing of any place, teaching not only the word and doctrine of God, but in the very words of God, and often in direct succession of phrases from the Scripture itself. In personal life, Master Ainsworth was above reproach. He was a man modest and amiable and sociable in ordinary course and carriage, of innocent and unblameable life and temper, a meek spirit and calm, void of passion and not easily provoked. Although our direct association with Master Ainsworth lasted only 9 months, he gave us, by the blessing of God, a book, a gift that will never die, his own extraordinarily accurate metrical version of the Psalter, set to tunes borrowed from the Reformed churches in other countries where the light of God had shone. Our congregation adopted the Ainsworth Psalter with gratitude to God for the work that he had done through his humble servant. This psalm that we are going to sing is Psalm 3. The three of us will sing it for you. This psalm we have selected because it especially is a good example of that accuracy and bluntness of phrase, if I might say, of the original Hebrew. Psalm 3.
How many my distressors be, O Jay? How many that do rise up against me? How many that of my soul saying be? There is no help for him in God's healing. But thou a shield about me art, O Jay, my glory and uplifter of mine head. I to Jehovah with my voice called. He heard me from his holy Mount Sinai. I laid me down and slept, I waking rose. For me Jehovah firmly up did bear. 4,000 of folk I will not fear, which me besetting round about enclose. Arise thou up, save me, my God, O Jacob. For all my foes thou smitest on cheekbone. Breaks wicked teeth to chase salvation. The blessing on thy people be sealing.
I would like to recount for you a typical church service in our congregation. Jesus says that they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Over the course of time, two major parties arose in the Church of England. The one party endeavored to have the right worship of God according to the discipline of Christ as commanded in the Scriptures, without the mixture of men's inventions, and to be ruled by the Word of God. The other party, the Episcopal, under many pretenses, endeavored to maintain the Episcopal dignity after the popish manner, with all of its courts and canons and ceremonies. We seek, by our simple worship, to bear witness to the kingly office of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Our example is not set by Luther or Calvin or Knox or even Ainsworth or John Robinson. We follow these men only so far as they follow Christ and the apostles and the example set out in the primitive churches. Our service opens with a prayer of thanksgiving by our pastor or teacher. Following the opening prayer, two or three chapters of the Bible are read publicly, after which sometimes an explanation is given. We follow the Bible reading with the simple singing of psalms. Unlike the English churches, with their organs and choirs, we believe that God is best worshipped by the singing of His redeemed people as a congregation, unaccompanied by instruments. Following by the singing of psalms, our pastor or teacher gives us a sermon from the Word of God. The sermon is followed by more singing of psalms, and then by the administration of the sacraments. The Lord's Supper, and the baptism of all who would come. Finally, we take up a collection for the poor and for the support of God's servants. I well remember our parting worship service with our beloved Pastor Robinson and fellow Christians before our departure, in which we sought the Lord by a public and solemn fast for His gracious guidance. Our pastor chose a fitting text of Scripture, Ezra 8:21. And there, by the river at Ahava, I proclaimed a fast that we might humble ourselves before God and seek of Him a right way for us and for our children and for all our substance. After the sermon, we refreshed ourselves with tears, with the singing of psalms, making joyful melody in our hearts as well as with our voices, there being many in our congregation very expert in music. And indeed, it was the sweetest melody that ever mine ears have heard. I would like you to join with us now in singing Psalm 23 in your booklet. Psalm 23, Jehovah feedeth me, I shall not lack. The tune may be slightly unfamiliar, but we think that you will gain it quickly. Jehovah feedeth me, I shall not lack. In grassy folds He down doth make me lie. He gently leads me, quiet waters by. He doth return my soul for His name's sake. In paths of justice leads me quietly. Yea, though I walk in dale of deadly shade, I'll fear none ill, for with me Thou wilt be. Thy rod and staff eke, they shall comfort me. For me a table Thou hast ready made. In their presence that my distressors be, Thou makest fat mine head with anointing oil. My cup abounds, doubtless good and mercy. Shall all the days of my life follow me. Also within Jehovah's house I shall, to length of days
repose me quietly.
Thank you. The storms of the Atlantic Ocean could not quench our psalm of praise. Just as Paul and Silas sang in the darkness of their dungeon in Philippi, so also we, huddled in the hold of the Mayflower, continued to sing during those long and dark days of the ocean crossing. During our long beating at sea, we endured seasickness, violent storms, billowing waves, the near drowning of one of our young men, the dangerous cracking of the main beam of the ship, and childbirth and all of the agonies that accompany it. The Psalms of David, marvelous in their variety, span every human emotion and every situation that man encounters on earth. At last, the Lord delivered us over the vast and furious ocean and planted our feet here on the firm and stable earth. In the words of Psalm 107, the sailor's psalm, Jehovah brought us to our desired haven. Oh, that men might praise the Lord, Psalm 107 says, for his goodness and for his marvelous works unto the children of men. This is Psalm 107.
Confess ye to Jehovah faithfully, for he is good forever, his mercy. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say, whom he from foes' hands hath redeemed away, and gathered them out of the lands did he. From east, from west, from north, and from the sea, they in the wilderness in desert way wander, no dwelling city finding they. Hungry and thirsty eketh them within. Their soul hath fainting overwhelmed them. And to the Lord they cried in their distress. He freely rid them from their anguish. And in a right way he did make them go, a dwelling city for to come unto. Confess they to Jehovah his mercy, his marvels eke to sons of man earthly. For he the thirsty soul hath satiated, and hungry soul with good replenished, and poor from poverty he makes uprise, and put at as a flock his families. See, shall the righteous and joyful be, and stop her mouth shall all iniquity. Who wises and will these things heedful learn, then may Jehovah's mercy shall discern.
Just as the Psalms sustained us during the storms at sea, so also did the Psalms sustain us during that first bitter winter here at Plymouth, when half of our company died. I myself bore a part in those troubles, losing my first wife during that dying time. We were only sustained by the Spirit of God and His grace. The providence of God worked for us in our preservation from many dangers, possessing the hearts of the savages with astonishment and fear of us, so that whereas if God had let them loose, they might have gathered themselves together and overwhelmed us. He gave us blessing powerfully upon the weak means that we had, enabling us with health and ability beyond expectation in our greatest scarcities. By God's mercy, we are now, as of the present, safely seated and housed and fortified. New marriages have taken place in the colony. I myself am greatly blessed to be joined to Susanna White, who has been a virtuous woman to me. Many of you also have known the same. God has also brought us others from across the water in other ships, which has strengthened our colony, added numbers, given us hope for the future. By the blessing of God, children have been born in our colony, which is, under His mercy, our link to a new generation and to all the future before us. Blessed be, therefore, His holy name, that has done so great things for us and hath wrought such a change amongst us. We're going to sing Psalm 30, which is the blessing of the Lord upon His people, bringing them out of their troubles into the light of a new day. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Jehovah, I will thee exalt, for thou hast drawn up me and hast at me mine enemies not joyful made to be. I cry to thee, O Jay, my God, and thou didst heal me safe. Jehovah, thou hast brought my soul up from the lowest grave. Thou hast kept me alive from them that down the pit do go. Ye that are His saints, gracious, sing Psalm Jehovah too. And unto the remembrance of His sanctity confess, because a moment in His wrath life in His favor is. Weeping shall lodge at eventide, but joy at morning day. And I said in my quiet ease, I shall not move for aid. O Jay, thou in thy favor hast strength to my mount settle. But thou didst hide away thy face, and I was soon troubled. To thee, Jehovah, do I call and ask Jehovah's grace. What profit in my blood when I go down to shall dust confess to thee, shall it show forth thy verity? Jehovah, hear and show me grace, O Jay, my helper be. My mourning bride has to meet into a dance. My sackcloth thou unloosed hast, and girt me with joy as, that my glory to thee may sing, and may not silent be. Jehovah, my God, I foray with thanks confess will thee.
Accept, I pray you, my weak endeavors, pardon mine unskillfulness, and bear with my plainness in the things that I have handled. Be not discouraged by our former necessities, but rather encouraged with us, hoping that as God hath wrought with us in the beginning of this work, undertaken in his fear and name, so he will accomplish by us the same, to his glory and our comfort, if we neglect not the means. Psalm 67 anticipates the glory of the day when the earth shall yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. For our part, we are confident that the way wherein we walk, and according to which we perform our service to him, concurreth with the rules laid down by our blessed Savior, as he has left us. This much I thought good to signify unto you. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ accept that which is according to him. May he discover and pardon and reform that which he finds amiss among us, and guide us by the assistance of his Holy Spirit for all time, until time shall be no more. May the Lord our God still delight to dwell among his plantations and churches here for his glory by his gracious presence. And may he go on blessing us and our posterity with heavenly blessings in these earthly places, so that we might not only become a nation ourselves, but also be an example for good unto others. And now let all that join with me in wishing well to Zion say, Amen.
Amen.
Would you join and stand with us now in singing Psalm 67? Familiar tune.
God, unto us be gracious, and he us bless his face with us. He clearly make to shine Selah, that may thy way the earth upon, and thy helpful salvation among the heathen all know may. Peoples, O God, confess thee shall, confess thee shall the peoples all. The nations joy and shout shall they, for thou wilt judge most righteously the peoples, and wilt guide safely the nations in earth Selah. Peoples, O God, confess thee shall, confess thee shall the peoples all. The earth it her increase doth bear. God, in our God, bless us will he. God, he will bless us bounteously, and all the earth then shall him fear.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we do thank you for the psalms that you have given to us to be an expression of our worship to heaven. Lord, we do ask your blessing, your gracious presence might dwell continually here with this colony, upon our children, upon our children's children for all time to come. In Jesus' name and for his glory we ask. Amen. Amen. Patience Brewster will be at the back with her Psalter to answer questions and to make it available. If you would like a copy of the Pilgrim Psalter to sing in your home, it's right here. It's at the back. You can talk to my sister Mary about it. God bless you all.